Here we go. Yeah, it's the YU one there also. YU Torah. Last one's in YU Torah. Okay. It's the second Kachim Chabura. Shkoyach to those who made it out in the snow, in the blitzkrieg weather. And last week we talked about Hilchos Ulam Mashicha. This week what I want to do is two things. I want to get two things, God willing. And number one that I want to get to is an introduction. Last week seemed like an introduction. Now is a halachic introduction. Last week was a hashkafic introduction with a little bit of a halachic twist. Hilchos Ulam Mashicha. I want to get to a hashkafic introduction. If you open your packet, you have the... We're going to get to the Gemara and Tzvachim. But last week we had the Hakdama of the Rambam in Seder Kachim. I put it in the packet last week. And I'm not going to go through it in Shir. You can go through it. It's very easy reading. Anybody not even doing Kachim. The Rambam's Hakdama to Seder Kachim is straightforward. I'll read you three lines. Re'iti la'deber davar ve'chelki ha'korbanos. I want to discuss a little bit, you know, my portion that I have to say about korbanos. Ve'echlol mineim kodem shatchi lafarish ha'seder hazeh. I'm going to explain the different types before I go into detail. What Rambam just does for you here in the Hakdama is he lays out every korban, every suga korban, asham, chatas. He goes through every type of korban that there is to know. He explains what they are and moves on. It's a very halachic. It's straightforward. It's why it's not straightforward. At the end of the day, you have to realize it's Rambam. And when the Rambam chooses a word here or chooses a word there, it could change a whole shir. So there's no point in analyzing it now because we're going to analyze each prat as we do each animal specifically, as we go through each sugi individually. But the Rambam was in last week's packet, and you could find it in introduction to in the back of the Gemaras in Zvachim. You could find his Hakdama. It's just basic. For a basic level, us starting, it's not necessary yet because there are so many Svarim like this. They go through the basics. You can go through, even Art School Chumash summarizes the basics. That's what the Rambam's doing. There's word twists here and there, which we'll only understand when we get further in. So right now, it's just literally a Hakdama. So he gives a basic introduction to the entire Seder Kachim, breaks it down by Korban. What I saw that was fascinating, though, and this comes from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's field of expertise is his classification systems. Breaking things down, he learned from his father-in-law, Rav Soloveitchik, to take things down, classify it, break it down into categories, and so he thought that there's a, that he said, God forbid, to change from the Rambam's breakdown of Chatas, Asham, Ola, and Shlomim. God forbid to break from that. But you should know there's another valuable way to break down everything that's going on in the Beis HaMikdash. And I think it's very helpful to break it down in this way. He has it in five sections. He says you could break it down into five categories. Category number one is Korbanos, whose primary purpose is Shmiras HaMikdash. Korbanos, whose primary purpose is Shmiras HaMikdash, preserving and maintaining the schedule of what's going on, keeping the trains running in the base of Migdash. The clearest example of that is a Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid, the daily offering offered twice, is one of the first things that's done in the base of Migdash. There's a sefer, by the way, I found, which was amazing. It's called Avodas Beis HaMikdash, Avodas Kohanim, where it's like a daf yomi. It's like not daf yomi, it's like a daily schedule where you can learn a little bit about Korbanos every single day over the course of a year. It's for Kohanim to get a quick overview. So I found that sefer. I'll bring it next week. I'll show you. It's an excellent sefer. So it goes to the bottom line halachas. So the Korban Tamid is an example of Shmiras HaMikdash. That's one. Okay? That, by the way, appears twice. Appears in Tetzaveh and Pinchas. And there's so much discussion as to why the two times and the differences and look at the words, not the words, and what's going on. The second time you have it, the second category, so first category is Shmiras HaMikdash. Second category is Korbanos, whose primary purpose is Kapara. Korbanos, whose primary purpose is Kapara. This breakdown is amazing because for us who know nothing about it, the other ones are just animals. This is a nice way of breaking it down as far as getting ideas. The first one, again, is Shmiras HaMikdash, Korban Tamid.
Something that is Shmiras HaMikdash could still have
Kapara element, which Tamid does, by the way. Gemar and Yoma says Tamid does. Excellent. So the way he says it is Korbanos that are primarily for Kapara. So, for example, animals that are brought specifically for an Avera, for a Chet, that's a Chatas. A Chatas is an example of one that's there for Kapara. One that's another example of one that's worried more about the individual, of taking care of the individual, cleaning his soul, so to speak. That's the asham. By the way, what's the basic difference between chatas and asham? Chatas is there to clear up the damage that's been done to the world by that sin. It's there to give the world a cleaning. The asham is sort of to give yourself a cleaning. One's more internal, one's more external. We'll discuss those differences.
Does that mean like the Kohen Mashiach is like a variety of asham? Because it's for the Kohen, so the Kohen God himself?
The Kohen, it's more a chatas.
But everything will fall within a category? Is that
everything's going to fall under these categories. That's exactly the purpose. That's exactly the purpose. Animal that are bought for other purpose but achieves kapara along the way within this second category. Like a korban ola, which is there to mechaper our hirhur halev. You could bring a korban ola to mechaper over hirhure halev. That's
also
three.
Personal.
What?
Also personal.
Also personal. Ola is also personal. Number three, korbanos, which are there. The third category now. So the first is shmiras hamikdash. Second is kapara. The third category of korbanos are korbanos that are there for ritzoi, achieving favor before Hashem, to supplicate before Hashem. Classic example is a korban shlamim. Shlamim is the classic example which tries to get ritzoi. Number four, you have korban as a machshir. Number four is korban as a machshir. It's preparing something, getting somebody ready for something. What's an example? You have by a nazir, korban which prepares him. You have, gets him out of it also. You have by a ger, right? A ger needs a korban as well. Gemara Krisis talks at length about the korban of a ger. That's also, it's a korban as a machshir. It's preparing somebody for something. That's the fourth category. The fifth category is the one-timer.
Is it just preparing someone for something, or is it actually moving them from one category?
Moving them from one category. Taking them away. A talich, process.
Shinui status.
A change in status that's achieved. Exactly. Well, kapara will change that. But a change, something that gets you from point A to point B, 100%. Number five is korban as a one-timer. One-timer, one-off korbanums. Like the miluim, like by the miluim. Or for a regular Kohen who brings once in his lifetime, we said last week, the minchas chavitin.
Lifetime or year?
The korban chavitin, the Kohen Gadol brings the korban chavitin every single day. The Kohen Gadol brings it every single day. Like korban Pesach is once a year. But one-off one in this category, that's one-timer, that's miluim, it's the minchas chavitin for a regular Kohen. Rare, few and far between. That's the fifth category. So five categories again. One, shmiras hamikdash korbanos, which is the tamin. You have korbanos whose yehud, whose purpose is kapara. Number three is ritzoi, which is the shlamim. Number four is korban as a machshir. And number five, korban as a one-timer, iluim or something like that.
Where does a korban toda fit into this schema?
What he does, the whole rest of his sefer, which is not going to be our agenda, but keep it in your mind as we go through each one. It's to then figure out, as we go through all of them, where could I throw it in? Where could I put it in? Korban Toda. Let's think just a lot. Korban Toda, for example, is, I would say Ritzoi. Off the bat, I would say Ritzoi.
You're not asking for anything for Hashem. You're just saying thank you, Hashem.
You want to find favor. Ritzoi is also from, not just appeasement, not just the asking Bakasha, but Ritzoi is also...
You're doing it just
Ritzoi is a favor in Hashem, that Hashem should be... That Hashem sees that you're happy and content. That's shloman like.
Accept your thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
It can be a din in sincerity.
What?
Depending on people's motivations when they say thank you, it can either be because they're legitimately thankful or because they're attempting to curry favor. It could straddle the line.
Either way, Ritzoi. Okay, yeah, expand Ritzoi, but I think it's most similar to that category. But that's what we can work on, figuring out once we understand the halachas of a toda, where it falls into.
This is his new classification. Sir.
Yeah, this is his new classification.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his chiddush.
Every day in the Rishon Lakish ballpark.
Well, two
over there. Depends on the day. Oh, yeah, come inside. How are you? Well, you had the Talmud Shel Boker, Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim. Come take a seat over there. We can move. Oh, yeah. That was easier, probably.
You had two, but then you had, like, just regular voluntary
the
stuff.
Kohen has to bring what's called daily, you just said.
Yeah, the Kohen God has to bring daily his korbanos.
I'm trying to think of, like, the
Minchas Chavitim. Yeah, days when the Lechem upon him was being switched. Well, let's keep a chart as we go along. Let's turn to this page. Now we begin. Everything else was just Hakdama. Last week was Hakdama. Now we begin inside. This Mishnah is very difficult. And it's the beginning and the most basic part of learning Kachim. Okay? Here we go. Mishnah. Kol hazvachim shenizvachu shelo lishman. kasherim, ela shelo ol levailin l'shem chova. All the zvachim, all the korbanos that were shechted shelo lishma. Okay, right there. Every line here is pages of Gemara. Shelo lishman is pages of Gemara. We'll just use the example of Rashi, top right corner, for now, to keep it simple. Shenishchat ola l'shem shlamim. You're holding onto a korban ola right now. Right? You're holding onto a korban ola, and you're shechting it for the purpose of shlamim. Right? Wrong? You're, something's off here. Kol hazvachim shenizbuchu shlo shman, kesherim, it's kosher, ela shelo alu l'balim shem chova. But it doesn't take care of the obligation of the person who bring it. Rashi, ksherim, it's kosher to finish the process. Lizrok daman, lahakdir emorin, to burn the incense, to burn the extra limbs there, ulechol tenecholin, and to eat that part which needs to be eaten. Afa pishim, mitzvasan leshochtan lishma. Even though there's a mitzvah to do shchita lishma, which we have to look at what the makor for that is, still if you didn't, this korban finished the process. Don't stop in its tracks. But lo al labailam l'shem chova, and Rashi says tzarich lahavi acher l'chovaso. You need to bring another one for your chova or for your neder. But yishchato lishman shechte lishma. By the way, this korban that was brought shelo lishma, which you can finish, the term that's thrown around once you go through achronim, the svarim, and also in the rishonim, they call this korban the korban nedava. It's now no longer the official korban of anything anymore because you ruined it. But we let you finish it. So what is it? It's a korban nedava. It's like just you're bringing it as your nedava. That's what you're bringing it as. It's just a pledge. I want to bring my animal. That's all you're bringing it as. Now, what's an exception? Second line, chutz min haPesach vaHaChatas, except for the korban Pesach and the korban Chatas. That what would mean they're exceptions to what rule? That they're totally pasul. Rashi says shehein psulin legamrei. That they're totally pasul. You can't. Process is over. Okay, you got to stop right there. Chutz min haPesach vaAchatas, the Pesach bezmano, the Pesach is the korban Pesach is going to be if it's in the time to bring a korban Pesach, and that's when you do your lola shma, it's going to be pasul, and the chatas becholzman, and a chatas is going to be no good at any time if you have a shalola shman, anytime. Okay, it sounds like a simple line, but it's actually not. Okay, we'll leave it for now.
What are the parameters of shalola shman? But we need to get there.
I can't do it now. I can't do it. We're stepping on next week's shiur, which is Rambam. We're going to see. This is heavy duty. It's the first 10 dap mezvachim, is what Shelo Lishman is. That's why people... You know what? I think this is probably why Zvachim never made it into the regular repertoire of the classic sugyas that Gemaras do. Because that yeshivas do. Yeshivas don't always pick the Gemaras that are Lamaisa. They stick on Yevamos. They tack on there. A lot of even Bava Basra is not even that Lamaisa nowadays because the real estate laws depend on the time and the place.
But the reason sugyos you can tackle.
But why can't you tackle Zvachim? I think Zvachim got kicked out because the first 10, 15 Dapim Zvachim are all one sugya. It's all a Shaloli Shman sugya. So there's no constant change of topics like you do by Ksuvis, like you have by the big Prakim and Shas. You don't have that. By Zvachim, it goes on one topic and I'll run through it for a long period of time. Oh, very good. Very good. That's true. That's true. I want to see what Shlosh Shema today. Rav Chaim Volozhin says a beautiful idea. Rav Chaim Volozhin says, Mitoch Shlosh Shema Baal Shema applies to every single part of our lives. He writes in Nefesh HaChaim. It's not just by a mitzvah. I started. Mitoch Shlosh Shema Baal Shema is in every single part of our lives. That's how we go through something. It always starts from a place. Whatever we do, a decision.
There's in life. Right?
What?
Because there's the stira to the darm, right? Where it says,
why?
No,
right.
So then you have the toast, which is like, Amad Lekanter.
It depends if you're doing it just to glorify yourself.
So it's hard to ever play that phrase the right way, because you can always ride toast.
Right, good. If you're doing it for your cover, then it's already past Shloshma. Good, okay. So now, so let's continue the Mishnah. So you have part A. Part B of the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer throws into the list of the exceptions that it's totally no good. Stop there. Even the Asham is going to be totally, add that into the list of the other two. That is stop there in its tracks if it's Shelo Lishma. And he goes on to explain. HaPesach Bezmano and the Chatas and the Asham Becholzman. Anytime you change the Lishma, it's done. Fine. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, HaChatas Ba'al Chet Va'Asham Ba'al Chet. A chatas comes for sin, asham comes for sin. Ma chatas psula shelo lishma, af ha'asham pasul shelo lishma. Just like a chatas is pasul if it's done shelo lishma, so too the asham. That's why I included. He's giving you a backup It's almost like Mishnahs never do that. Mishnahs never do that. But he does. He gives you the Svara. Since Chatas is brought for a sin, why not include Ashram on the list? I'm going to include Ashram in the Lishlo Lishma. Here comes another Shita. So you have the Tanakama, you have Rabbi Eliezer, who expanded the list, and now you have Yossi ben Choni Omer. Yossi ben Choni Omer, by the way, in one of the first blogs, if you go back to the blog, I threw you an extra bonus on Yossi ben Choni. Who is this Yossi ben Choni? If you look in the blog, it was a bonus here. Yossi ben Choni Omer, Hanishchotim l'shem Pesach u'l'shem Chatas Psulin.
Is
it Choni Hamagel? No. Is the Choni Choni Magel? I don't think so. I don't think so. At least that's not what I sent you. It wasn't. I don't know if anybody says that. Yosef ben Choni Omer Hanishchot l'shem Pesach u'l'shem Chatas Psulin. One who shechs for the purpose of a Pesach. Meaning, if I have a korban ola, and I have in mind on the 14th of Nisan, this is my korban ola I'm bringing. It's an ola. I wanted to bring an ola, and I have in mind this should be my korban Pesach. Anytime I take any korban, he's now changing what everybody else said before. He's saying I'm taking any korban now, and I'm throwing it towards the direction of korban Pesach. Korban Pesach mentioned before was how you ruin a korban Pesach. This is telling you could ruin a korban now by taking it in the direction of korban Pesach if it's not a korban Pesach. So Yossi ben Choni says Hanishchotim l'shem Pesach l'shem Chatas Psulin. If you take another korban and you have in mind it's my korban Pesach when it's not clearly not your korban Pesach, or you have in mind this is my Chatas when it's clearly not your Chatas Psulin, it's going to be no good. Another shita Shimon Acha Zariyamar Shocht l'shem Gvon. This is important. If you shecht for something on a higher level on it, that it's going to be kosher. Meaning, if you have an animal, and your machshava for this animal is that I want this to count as an animal which is on a higher darga, it's good. L'shem namuch, man, but if I have in mind, if I make a shinoi, and I have in mind for an animal that's lower than what it was supposed to be, psulin. What's an example of that? Kochim, kotche kochim. If I have kotche kochim stuff, this is also, we have to define what this is. If I have kotche kochim stuff, which you shecht for the purpose of kochim kalim, it's going to be possible. Why? You've lowered the value. But kochim kalim, which I shecht for the purpose of kotche kochim, it's going to be kosher. By the way, what does kosher in this Mishnah mean? Kosher means I still did not finish on my obligation. It means finish the process, give it as a gift, but you still got to take care of your obligation. That's what kosher means here. That's why this is so difficult. When you go through these sugyas, they keep saying kosher, and your mind wants to say, I'm done. Kosher doesn't mean that here. And then sometimes the Rishonim will be saying kosher and mean everything, and not... So it gets very... That's why it gets... We're going to try to make it just clear.
Some of these things you don't have a chiyuv, like your ritsui category, right? It's just something which
you set it aside. Once you set the animal aside, that became your chiyuv. Once you set the animal aside and said, I'm making this, I made a pledge, I'm making a neder, that I'm bringing this l'shem ola.
It goes on
it's
that
official.
Animal, though.
Yeah, it's confirmed.
So, you don't have a chiyuv to... If you're saying I'm bringing a korban ola, you don't have a chiyuv to bring a l'chachila korban ola. You can finish that animal which was done improperly, but it's still kosher, right? But you don't have a chiyuv to do anything else.
You still got to bring your ola because you made a pledge you're going to bring an ola.
Well, I guess it depends on how you put it, right? If you say this animal is going to be an ola, and this animal, they'll do it right.
You see, the classic breakdown here is what is the difference with the Gemara get to? A shvu and a neder. The machshava and what is a shvu and a neder? When I say, is my pledge, is classic pilpul, is my pledge going on the object or on myself? That I myself have this obligation, or did I pin it that this animal should go to that? That's part and parcel of what this whole discussion is all about, which is when I say this is going to go for X, did I mean that I have this duty, and therefore so long as I didn't fill what?
Is
it the chefs and the gavra? So long as I didn't fulfill that obligation, I got to see to it. Or no, it was on that animal. If for whatever reason that animal didn't serve as that thing, it's done. It was on the animal, not on me. That's part of this whole discussion. So kotche kalim, if I go lower, it's no good. If I go higher, it's going to be fine. Okay, end the Mishnah. You take a look there, see Rashi. End the Mishnah for now. We're not done with this Mishnah for a while. But that's a basic read of the Mishnah. So what we're getting into now is the issues of machshava, is the issues of kavana, and instead of spending all 10 dap mizvachim, what I want to do is just let's go through the issues. This week is going to be kavana. What we're going to do today is on kavana when it comes to the korbanos. Next week is going to be machshava by kachim. Machshava by kachim, It's maybe one of the top five sugyas in all of Kachim that everyone discusses who discusses Kachim. And it's going to be a great shiur for us. Why? It might take us a couple parts, because in it, we're going to learn about 15 different sugyas. It covers so many sugyas, Machshava by Kachim. We're going to end up even in Tefillin and Mezuzas and Stam and different areas. And it's also a great area to cover so many of the great sugyas of Kachim on their own, within each point. So it's a great topic. It's a great topic. But now, we said last week, Pigel. Pigel, do you need to think it the problem, or do I need to express it verbally? What's the problem? That's what we got to define first. When I have some faulty Machshava by Kachim, whatever it is, whether it's pigel or not a pigel, this shinoi shalolishma, we have to define what the shalolishma. That's going to be my goal next week. But when I make that shinoi of shalolishma, okay, when I do that, does it need to be verbalized or does it need to be thought? Is it thought or is it verbalized? So if you look at the Tosfos Kol, we're going to be analyzing this Tosfos right now, just the end of it. If you go to the end of the Tosfos Kol, the top left corner Tosfos, okay, over here, he says as follows. The very last line of the Tosas. Ubeperek hamafkid bab mitzia daf mem gimel amid beis. Peirashti ha demachshava poselis bekochim. When we keep talking about how machshava is poisel bekochim, it ruins kochim. Ibedibur hazevach nasa shloshma o afilu b'machshava. Is it going to be improper thought, or is that fine so long as it's not going to be, as long as it's not verbalized? Is it machshava, or do I need the dibor as well? Is it machshava or the dibor as well? He cites the Tosfos that he discusses this over in Bab Metzia Mem Gimel Amid Beis.
What would be the havamin? If it's only machshava, if your problem is machshava, why would you even need to have dibur? If you're talking only about machshava,
right? No, when you say the phrase machshava by kachim, when you say that phrase, does that mean that it needs dibur to give it a little bit of oomph, or no, that machshava is good enough? One second. That's the question. Is machshava, when it says, I know the topic says machshava b'kachim, sounds like it's just machshava, but no, maybe it needs something more specific. The mind is a wild thing. Things are floating through the mind all day. Stipler, Gon, has a great question, by the way. Stipler says in Brachos, it's Simen Yud in his commentary on Brachos, the Stipler says, we say hirhur kedibor, right? Hirhur, thoughts like speaking. If hirhur kedibor, how come every time I'm in Shmona Esrei, my mind wanders for a minute, I should start my Shmona Esrei over every single time. Because hirhur kedibor, I thought in the middle, I spoke, hirhur is kedibor.
Yeah, you have kavana for care.
What?
You have kavana for care.
What do you mean, have kavana hafucha? What does that got to do with that? What do you mean?
It must be that we don't hold.
If you're not intending it as something that you're saying.
You want to say that it's only dibur if you have kavana for it to dibur.
Yeah.
So the Stifler's answer on that is that hirhor kedibur is only dibur when you want your hirhor to function in place of your dibur. Very good, Andrew. We only say hirhor kedibor, thinking is like speaking, when you want your thinking to function as your primary mode of achieving your goal. But if thoughts are coming in, that's not hirhor kedibor, it's never what it meant. Okay, that's not for now. So the Tosfos over here that he's taking us to, he says, I already explained whether or not this is just thought or whether this is words. That's in Bab Metzia, Mem Gimel Amid Beis, Kfar Peirashti. What he says the Tosfos Divar Maskil? What? Doesn't say. I'm going to assume it's the one that says Hachoshev at the end. Hachoshev Lishloch Yad. Hach Machshava Havei Dibor. Machshava here. This is Korbanos over here. Zvachim Perkamad Menachos Havei Dibor. That's going to be Dibor. Simple as that.
Shomer was about to use it.
Yeah, the Shloch Vo Yad. But
he started using it, ended up using it, and then it died.
And switched off the reason. Yados Litzdaka, and then Yados Likorban. That's the sugi over here. Hachoshev Lishloch Yad B'Pikadon. He wanted to use the stuff that was left as a collateral, but Shamis is Chayev. So, Hach the Machshava Havei Dibor. Kidi Yolif Me'al Kol Davar Pesha V'chei Machshavas Pigol Nami Havei B'Dibor V'lo B'Lev. Not in the heart. It's got to be the mouth. Okay, it's got to be the mouth. I explained this already. Okay? Merely thinking a thought would not avoid the korban, is what he's saying. Would not avoid the korban. Okay? Now, Shitas Rashi, if you look on the bottom of page 3, I put the Rashi here in the bottom, from Zvachim Mem Aleph Amid Beis. Rashi's Shita by Kagon. Kagon Shenosan et HaKometz B'machshava. We're going to discuss what's Kemitza. Okay, you put the Kemitza, Tchila, V'acher Kach, the Lavona. You put the frankincense. We got to find some frankincense so we know what this is already. Then we could track down frankincense. V'acher Kach, Lavona. So, B'shtika, V'hu Adin Im Nosan Lavona B'machshava Tchila, V'acher Kach, Kometz B'shtika, V'tayim Yishum Da'al Das Rishonos, V'nimtza Mefagel, B'chol HaMatir. V'rabban and Savri Al Das Rishona, Lo Amrinan, Ela Im Kein Omar. Af b'shenei v'chol machshava dekotchiv motzi bepehu. Kol machshava dekotchim motzi bepehu. All machshava, when it comes to kotchim and everything, this whole topic of machshava, faulty machshava, lolishma, whatever permutation, that is going to be bepeh. That will always and forever will be bepeh. Okay, that's Tosus, that's Rashi. Machshava by kotchim is bepeh. Okay,
frankincense is readily available.
Where could we get some frankincense?
I think those guys on the street sell it. You know, like
yeah, on the 91st in Amsterdam. That yeah. Which spot is it?
Where you walk by.
The most arrested corner. The one you've tracked down. all right. So the Rambam in the Mishnah Lamelech. Suleim Akdashim Yud Gimel Aleph. The Mishnah Lamelech. You have the Rambam here. What's that? So Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Aleph Psulam Yashim. By the way, circle this Rambam. This is a very important Rambam. It's going to appear on the Meir Makomos at some point. We're not doing it right now. We're doing the Mishnah Lamelech. But 13 Aleph is there are three Machshavas which puzzle the Korban. Okay, which puzzle it. Puzzle, I believe, means stop. Game is over. Don't continue. Not Loa Labalim L'Shem Chova. Stop, totally. We have to see before we throw that out there. If you look at the bottom of the Mishnah Lamelech, bottom right, Medivrei Rabbeinu, from the Rambam Nira, the Chol Machshava Have Afilu Belo Hotza Bepeh, even without verbalization. Even without, he points out, Tosus argues, but from Rambam, it says, Rambam, he says, it's clear, it's just the mouth. Why? Because the Rambam goes through all these faulty machshavas and never once tells you it needs to be bepeh. Keeps saying machshava, machshava, machshava. Rambam never says bepeh. Everyone then assumes that according to the Rambam, pigul and isurei machshava by korbanos is only if is good enough with the mind. Doesn't need bepeh. Argue straight with Tosus and Rashi. You have a machlokas Rambam versus Tosus and Rashi. And the last addition to this setup is the Me'iri. Chidushei HaMe'iri on the next page. This is from Psachim, Samach Gimel Amid Aleph. The right side, the paragraph that begins, Kol Ma. Kol Ma Shebi'arnu B'machshavas Kochim, Eino Tzricha Hotzos Peh. Whether it's Machshavas Pigel, if you're already thinking, maybe there's a difference between Pigel and other Machshavas. Hein Machshavas Pigel, Hein machshavas psul, hein korban pesach, whatever korbanas, eino tzricha hotzos peh, straight in the Me'iri. You have machlokas then, it's Tosfos and Rashi versus Rambam and Me'iri. That's the showdown over here. That's the machlokas over here. Okay, that's the machlokas, simple machlokas. I've been waiting, I was so excited, I'm waiting to use what I think is one of the hardest svarim ever. Here it is, the Shir Ion HaTalmud. Rav Abba Berman, and he asks a wonderful question. His question is as follows. It's in Simon Gimel. I gave you the monster Simon there in the packet. Shiurei Iyun HaTalmud.
When is this from?
Rav Abba Berman, he only passed away recently. He's this century. Okay. It's past century. I was explaining last week for a minute that he, if briskers are brisk, he splits hair to the even finer level. He goes even finer level. They say the Rugachever used to split everything to three. Briskers into two, the Rugachever into three. But he would go so docistic on his splitting, on his hair splitting. We'll see some of them. It's a lot of fun to figure out what he was saying. When it finally hits you, like middle of the night, it's enjoyable. So he asks as follows. We generally assume mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. That's what we generally assume. Mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. Mitzvahs need kavana. How do you have kavana? That's usually with your mind. You have in mind, all right, the chassidim put in l'shayim yichud yoyse. But it's really, that's just to help you focus. But it's always there. It's the stamas that you have it in your mind, that mitzvah tzrichas kavana, that before I do this thing, I'm going to have kavana, l'shem mitzvah, whatever, mitzvah, milah, whatever it is. So too with an avera, thinking that I'm doing avera X is enough to transgress the avera. Right? You want to say, machshava ra eina mitzaref l'maisa. Right, you think? It's actually a good steer there. The Gemara in that's Kedushin. That's Mem or some Mem Aleph, where it says Machshava Ra Eina Mitzaref L'Maisa. Bad thought doesn't count as action. And then you have the Gemara in Yoma Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, which says Hir Hurei Avera Kashin Mavera. Thinking a sin is worse than the sin. And then it says Machshava Ra Eina Mitzaref L'Maisa. Either way, whichever way you're going to solve, what? So either way, whichever way you're going to solve that steer in the Gemara, that has nothing to do with this. Why? In Avera followed by an action, meaning when I say I need kavana for the avera, it's enough. I don't need to verbalize it. I need to think I'm doing the avera, and then when I do the avera, that's it. It's done. So too with the mitzvah. When we say mitzvah strichas kavana, you never needed kavana to be the kavana portion of the mitzvah or the kavana portion of the avera. You never needed that to be verbalized. The mitzvah needs to be verbalized, or the mitzvah needs to be done. But as far as when we say you need kavana, that's only in the mind. That's only a mind matter. It's only an issue with your mind. So he asks, why by a korban does Tosfos and Rashi need verbalization? Right? Why does it need verbalization? Why do I need you to verbalize it for it to be a psul of shelo lishma? Why? Why in the world does it need to be? Why should that be? Okay, that's his question. And his job is not to answer that. His job is to point out that others have answered this before him, and then he goes very deep.
But so, it's a din in the korban itself, right?
What are you saying?
You can't know what the purpose of the korban was, absent the intent of the person actually doing the tzchikah. Saying it's being brought on somebody else's behalf, right? Someone goes to bring a korban. The act of the tzchikah in and of itself is indistinguishable based on the intent and kavana. So by korbanos, you could say the need to articulate the kavana isn't for the benefit of the person.
You don't need to articulate the kavana. We're going to see by korbanos. You don't say anything, but in order to ruin it. You need to specifically...
So saying something can ruin it, saying nothing can't.
Right. Stamal d'shma by kumaras, we're going to assume. But to ruin it, you have to say... Why? You need...
Why, you didn't say tefillah, or... Didn't you say that pasuk? Oh, no, that was just by bikurim.
Yeah, by bikurim. Only by the havas bikurim did you have
know,
a...
You don't say
not that I know. Right? Not that I know of yet. A lot of this I'm going to tell you I don't know yet, because we're still... But I'm pretty sure not. I'm pretty sure not. So... On Yom Kippur, you had a lot of reading also before different korbanos.
You didn't do like slich over the...
What?
There's no like slich.
I don't think so.
In the morning, when you say korbanos, you say, in the chai, if I'm chai of such a thing, I have to bring this korban now before you can say the korban.
Right.
Some kind of a...
There was a... No, but that's what I'm saying. That's conferring that I'm going to bring this korban. That's right. The pledge you're taking. But to ruin... But once you bring the korban to the kohen, he doesn't have to say a word.
No, maybe
right.
Not.
You don't have to state your...
He doesn't have to say what it is. You bring the korban.
I'm bringing it
like Arani Muchan.
Yeah.
I mean, can you make nafkin mina if someone brings a korban and it's done without thinking? So the korban is not thinking about anything particular.
Neutral.
So one way, just, you know,
we're going to talk about it.
Like
we're going to talk about that.
So,
yeah, you know, there's no kavana.
Neutral kavana. We're going to talk about it. That's fine. It's going to be fine. The korban's going to be kosher. The korban's going
to
be kosher.
So then that's, I mean, isn't that a riot to say that you don't really need kavana to...
According to Tosfos, according to everyone, if I change... If I do a shinoi in the lishma of this korban, if I make a change, so according to Tosfos, it has to be verbal, but according to everybody, a change in the lishma, whether mental or verbal, it's a problem. They all agree to that. Okay, they all agree to that. So the question is, why does Tosfos need the verbalization What is the relation? So the Shirei Iyun HaTalmid by Rav Abba Berman points to a machlokas rishonim to simply solve the problem. Okay, to simply solve the problem, and then he goes to work on it. He says as follows, that there are two opinions in the Rishonim, as to why you need Dibur. Start with one. Rashi to Dvarim, I don't think I put it in the packet. Oh yeah, I did actually. It's there. Dvarim Yud Zayin. Pasuk says, Lo Sizbach La Hashem Elokecha. It's Pasuk Aleph. It starts there, cut off. Lo Sizbach La Hashem Elokecha. Shor Vaseh Asher Yevamum. Kol Davara. Don't do any that or Kol Davara. Ki Toevas Hashem Elokecha. It's a Toeva. It's an abomination for Hashem. What's Kol Davara? Rashi says, In Azara Lemafagel Bakochim Al Yedei Dibor Ra. So Rashi's Lashita, so that's Dibor. But what does Rashi telling you here? What's the reason why? What's his answer to the question, that the Kavana question? How come by Kavana I don't need explicit verbalization, but when it comes to Shinoi Shelo Lishma, that I need Dibura? Why? It's Xeris HaKasuv. It's the Pasuk telling you that. Kol Davar Ra. Kol Davar Ra from Dibur, Lashon Dibur. Lashon Dibur, Rashi learns it as Xeris HaKasuv. There's no debate. There's no theological debate. There's no, let's not even pontificate. It's Xeris HaKasuv. Done. Discussion's over for Rashi.
Didn't we see last week that Pigul is keeping the carbon longer than it was
extended time, beyond the time. Pigul's
so
beyond
you,
time.
How do you mafagel the Dibur? What exactly are you
doing? I'm going to eat this carbon next Wednesday.
You have to say it.
Yeah, well, according to those who say you need Dibor.
Right, you need Dibor.
Yeah. Okay, so according to Rashi, his reason why you need Dibor is it's Xeris HaKasuv and the discussion.
Uncle says called Madame.
Hold on, let me see. Kol Mida'am Bish Arei Merache Kodam Hashem Lekechahu. Here, Lo Tikot Kodam Hashem Lekechah Tor Ve'emar Diyehe Ve'muma Shvimum. And kol mida'am bish. Bish like negative. Any mida'am bish. What's mida'am? Other word mida'am means in that context. Mida'am. I don't know. You know, by the way, the Practical Talmudic Dictionary just changed their title. Have you ever seen Practical Talmudic Dictionary? It's written by Yitzchak Frank.
The blue one?
It was white.
White
with the letter, with the rainbow color letter, and then white going through.
The blue one's the Aramaic English.
Yeah, the blue's the Aramaic one. Right. So the Practical Talmudic Dictionary, notice the wise form cell changed its title. It's now the Practical Talmudic and Unkelus Dictionary. I guess to get more business, expand the business, so we could look up
Midam.
What? Pamphlets, the aiding Talmud study. It used to be aids to Talmud study, and then they changed it to aiding Talmud study. You could figure out why. They changed it from aids to Talmud study to aiding Talmud study. So I have both editions. I have the old one and I have the newer one. We're worth to put on eBay. All right. So now, one opinion that we've shown him is why you need explicit Dibur is Xeris HaKasuv Rashi. The Shirei Iyun HaTalmid, Rav Abba Berman, you can find it somewhere near, quotes the Or Zarua, the Shalos and Chuvas Or Zarua. I didn't give you the Or Zarua straight because it's not in HebrewBooks.org, and if it's not in HebrewBooks.org, it doesn't exist. No, then it's not going to make it in the packet, more or less. But the Shalos and Chuvas, let's put in a call. Shalos, Chuvas, Or Zarua.
I was in the Or Zarua, reputedly the Or Zarua Shul 2 weeks ago.
Oh, where is that?
In Vienna. It was
really?
Destroyed in 1241.
Vienna, right.
Yeah.
Right, wow. The Or Zarua was one of the first to print the story of the Nisan Tokif, with the whole story there.
I think they say he was the first full-time rabbi of a shul.
Wow, good trivia. Yeah, I'm sure you get that's the good. By the way, I found this scholarly article. Don't laugh. I found a scholarly article from Menachem. Anybody knows Menachem Butler always finds these articles. Menachem Butler sent me an article on the history of rabbinic compensation, an overview of when it was down, when it was high, when it was fighting over it in Sephardic communities with Ashkenaz. It's an amazing. Someone did like their doctorate on this. This is what they spent time on. Okay, so now he says the Or Zarua's shita, the other Rishon, is that you need Dibor. Why? Because a dvarim shibalev einam dvarim. That's a key phrase for Kachim. Dvarim shibalev einam dvarim. Matters of the heart aren't anything. You need dibor. Because dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. It needs tons of hesber. So you have a machlokas rishonim he's setting up here. Why, when it comes to kachim, do you need explicit dibor according to Shitas Rashi and Tosfos? According to Rashi, it's exeris akasiv. According to Rez Arua, dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. I need something more. I need something
more. Dibor for what?
What?
Dibor for what?
To make it, to ruin the korban. Okay. I need something more to ruin it.
The
varm shabbalay
vein of
varm.
What? The coin's dibor, someone else's dibor.
Depends on the instant, but the stomach of the coin. The stomach of the coin. It says, lo labailin, l'shem kova. It doesn't work for him. Yeah, it's the coin doing it. Okay, so now, what is the, Rav Amar Berman stops and asks, what is the machlokas? What's the machlokas over here? And you always know which paragraph's going to do it. He has key phrases, which lets you know something's going on over here. Vashir nira bevior hachiluk. Vashir nira bevior hachiluk v'mashava shalosh v'adimin and dibor l'shidiv hashal l'shma d'sag v'ashava greida. So he says, you need to first explain l'hach shitas d'machshava kotcher boy dibor dafka. Let's start there. Before we get fancy and explain the machlokas Tosis versus Rambam, first start with the shita that doesn't make sense, as Avi said. Why would you need dibor? It's machshava. Why would I need dibor? So he says as follows. He says, beautiful. He says, you got to then go further inside. You could lose your spot in your head if you don't really think about it. He says, what was one of the shitas? Rashi said, gzeres akasiv, or Zarua said, dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. Stop. Define it. What does dvarim shebelev einam dvarim? Hold the horses. What does it mean? This is what he does. By the way, I learned under a student of one of Rav Abba Berman's most famous students. His name is Rav Reuven Buckler. Reuven Buckler, he's the son-in-law of Rav Parnas from, who was formerly Yeshiva University, now at Turo, now at Landers. So he said his Rebbe always taught him, you have to stop and say, what's the definition? Before you continue, he's already starting the Vilna Gaon and Brisk, but what's the definition? What you threw out Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim, what's the definition? So Rav Abba Berman says, there are two pshatim in Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. One way to understand it is simple. Pashut. Words in the heart aren't words. It's nothing. It's fleeting. Words in the heart is meaningless. It's fly by night. Nothing. It's meaningless. Alternatively, another way to understand it, and watch what he does. Once he gives you both ways, beautiful what he does. Alternatively, another way to understand Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim is that matters in the heart are only nothing when they contradict explicitly an action that I'm doing. Two pshatim in dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. One, dvarim shebelev einam dvarim means words of the heart are nothing. Okay, one pshat, classic. Second pshat is no, dvarim shebelev einam dvarim, that's only true when the heart is very good, but it's only not good when it contradicts that which is being done on an action level. Then dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. Meaning words of the heart are only good so long as they don't face a contradiction.
For positive or for negative.
Positive or for negative.
You meant to do the guy bad, but you did the right thing by him.
So the action is going to be, you need piv velev shavin. You need both to be on the same wavelength. Right. Okay, good. Now what? What do we do with all this? What do we do with all this? He's gotten you so far in and lost. What do we do with all this? Who cares? So here we go. So he says the Rishonim who say the first pshat in Dvarim, the Rishonim who say that you need slow. Okay, got it now. The Rishonim who say that you need dibor by a shinu lishma because Dvarim shebelev einam Dvarim. Remember that was the shitas or zarua. Those who say like the or zarua, not like Rashi. Rashi says xeris akasiv. Those who say like the or zarua, those who say like that. Is saying must be holding like the Rishonim who say that you need actual dibor. Dvarim shebelev is mamish einam dvarim. Words of the heart are nothing, and therefore you have to say like the Or Zarua that you need dibor. Why? By a korban? Because dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. That's why I need dibor. While the Rishonim
Rashi couldn't say that. Rashi's still on the same side. As the Or Zarua,
no,
right?
No.
He's saying that it's...
Rashi is saying it's Exeris Akasiv, meaning what? So he says, Rashi, who says that it's Exeris Akasiv, Rashi who's saying it's Exeris Akasiv, has to be holding like the other side, has to be holding, and this is what he says, has to be holding like the Mishnah Lamelech and the Meiri, who think that you don't need any Dibur. Who think, I know the question you're thinking, don't ask it yet, who think that you don't need any Dibur. Again, if you hold Pshat and Dvarim, Shebelevein and Dvarim, is that matters of the heart are mamish nothing, then that has to fit with the opinion that says by a machshava shelo lishma, you mamish need to express it with your mouth, because the machshava alone is nothing. But those who say a machshava isn't good enough, like the Rambam and the Meiri, so they must be holding in the second side of Dvarim, Shebelevein and Dvarim. No, things in the heart are fine so long as they don't face some other contradiction. That's a beautiful setup, what he just did. He took the machlokas. What he did was he took the machlokas that we had of Tosfos versus Rambam. When he say machshava by kachim is posel, a machshava shelo lishma. When we say a machshava shelo lishma is posel, does that machshava shelo lishma need deborification or not? So according to Tosfos, it needed expression of the mouth. According to Rambam, it did not. So he's saying, why? Because Tosfos is understanding Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. Davar Shebelev Einam Dvarim means Mamish Einam Dvarim. And therefore, I need to express myself if I'm going to ruin this Korban. There's no other way I'm going to ruin the Korban. Just thinking something wrong in my heart ain't going to do anything wrong. On the other hand, the Rishonim, like the Rambam and the Meiri, who said that that in order to ruin a Korban, thought alone is enough, must be holding like Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim, the second side, that words of the heart are something, they are something just until they hit a wall. And therefore, you don't need words to go all the way and ruin this. The problem with this setup now of what he just did, Rav Abba Berman, is that you now have a contradiction of Rashi on the Chumash versus Rashi in Zvachim. The Rashi in Zvachim was saying that you need to have explicit Dibur, and the Rashi in Chumash was saying it's based on Gzera Sakasiv.
Yeah, but it's the same result. He's basically saying, if it wouldn't be for Gzera Sakasiv, Rashi would hold that just the Machshav is enough to ruin it. If it wouldn't be for Gzera Sakasiv.
Just Machshav is...
But because of Rashi holds, Rashi is changing his opinion just because of Sagar Zakasa. If those three words wouldn't be there, he would be holding just like the Rishon.
No, but what Rav Berman is saying is those who hold that Gzeirus Akasiv, that number two, the Gzeirus Akasiv, must be holding the side of Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim, is that, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be like three ways. So you could say that no one holds Gzeirus Akasiv except Rashi. So if you forget about Rashi for a moment, you have
good.
People say Mashallah means nothing,
Rashi
or
and Tosfos,
means
or?
Something. So you have Tosfos versus Rambam. That's two tzadim, and then you can say that Rashi holds like the Rambam in as far as one day, basically the finish of Mashallah.
Right, if not for the Gezer Kasev.
But because of Gezer Kasev, he says okay, Korban.
Good, 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 good. Okay, so to summarize and bring it together, what we've done over here, besides what we did at the beginning, which was a way of breaking it down like Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, different than the Rambam's breakdown, a separate track. What we did was we looked at the classic machlokas of all machshavas by kachim, which we're going to have tons of discussions of machshav by kachim and kavana by kachim, is whether or not when you do pigul or any other faulty machshava, do you need expression with the mouth or not? That's a basic yesodistic machlokas. Call it Tosfos versus Rambam. Let's keep Rashi out of it to make our lives easy. Tosfos versus Rambam. Straight machlokas that runs throughout Shas. Tosfos versus Rambam. And then once we had that, we said, what's the hezber of this machlokas? Rav Abba Berman wanted to tie it into, first of all, the more dakistic machlokas as to what's the svara for those who say you need dibor. And then once he did that, he wanted to tie it into the machlokas of the classic machlokas at how to understand dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. Once you define how to understand dvarim shebelev einam dvarim in one of two ways, you now go back and understand the machlokas Tosfos versus Rambam. That's what they're fighting about. Yes, pe, no pe, yes, pe. According to Rashi, you could just end it and say Gzeres HaKasev was the fight. Is there Gzeres HaKasev now? What?
Yeah, that's
my problem is, how does anybody, assuming Rashi came first in this equation, which he did, how does everyone, knowing Rashi, that it's Gzeres HaKasev implicitly in Chumash,
and what do they do with that Pasuk?
Right, what do they do with the Pasuk? It's clearly Gzeres HaKasev.
You want to know what they do with the Pasuk? Va'od nidarshu, the end of that Rashi, I stopped early. Va'od nidrashu bo shar drushas.
Rashi on Dvarim?
That same Rashi.
Okay.
Va'od nidrashu bo shar drushas b'shchitas kachim.
Okay.
There's it. That's it.
So he, has, he takes both sides.
He
of
likes
coin.
Using it for the Debo Rice, but there's other drushes you could use it for, and they could say we
well,
never had the
drushes. That fits very well with what he's saying.
Right. The
answer is that I have to do something with Gzeres HaKasev, but there's other ways to go with this.
Yeah, 100%.
100%. Maybe even Rashi isn't so committed to the Gzeres
HaKasev. Right. He doesn't. Rashi doesn't do that very often. It's
what?
This, but not really.
I'm looking at Ramban now. Ramban. I just quote Rashi straight, but it doesn't deal with the verbalization or not. I think Rambam is one of the loners on this, by the way. Rambam almost, we found Meiri, but it's really Rambam is almost in his own camp with the saying Machshava is enough. But that's nice, Rav Berman did, how he says, this famous Machlokas of how to understand Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim. Is it literally Mamish Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim, or it's only Ein and Dvarim when there's a wall standing in its way? That's the Machlokas really of Tosfos and Rambam. The problem with Rav Berman, when you learn it, you're nodding it as he's saying it, and then when you think about it, you're like, "Oh, I just missed the whole thing." And then you gotta sit in it. Mamish, let it brew. But you need machshava by it. You need serious machshava by it, and then some dibor to make sure it's concretized, to make sure you get it.
Is there another place to show the consistency of it? Like, is there another place not that also sugya that's here? Machshava shalev.
Next Monday night, we're gonna look at 15 different machshava sugyas. Because we're going to cover so much of Kachim next Monday night. Next Monday night is key. So much of it. Next Monday, next Monday, sorry, next Wednesday. Next Wednesday night. What? We're going to tell the Shemitz Sefer Torah, Shemitz is Tefillin. What? 100%. 100%. That's where it's at. Okay, let's stop there for tonight.
So much for not me.